Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the South Indian Bank Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Divya Purohit from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Tanvi. Welcome, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the results call of South Indian Bank. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan, Managing Director and CEO, South Indian Bank. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Bank Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call. We are joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, EVP and Group Business Head, Sales, Mr. Anto George T, Head HR and Administration, Mr. Sanjay Sinha, Head Retail Liabilities, Ms. Chitra, CFO, Ms. Minu, GM Credit, and Mr. Senthil Kumar, GM Recovery. Let me start with the key highlights of the financial performance for the financial year ended March 2022. Built new book of rupees 22,750 crores with better underwriting mechanism. GNPA on new book were less than 0.1%. SMA-2 book is 0.35%. Provision coverage ratio increased to 69.6%, which was in mid-50s for the past few years. Bank saw a record recovery and upgrade of 1,450 crores from GNPA and good recovery from technically written-off accounts compared to rupees 500-700 crores gained in the last few years. Overall, GNPA improved to 5.9% from a peak of 8.02% during the year. Net NPA improved to 2.97% from a peak of 5.05% during the year. Following the robust collection drive, our SMA-2 portfolio has consistently improved quarter-on-quarter from rupees 2,139 crores in Q1 2022 to rupees 892 crores in Q4 2022. Let me now take you through the key highlights of the operational and financial performance. The total business for the bank stands at 150,957 crores as at March 31, 2022. Advances grew by 4% year-on-year to rupees 61,816 crores, backed by total disbursement of rupees 24,533 crores during the financial year ended March 2022. The bank disbursed more than rupees 10,200 crores of corporate loans during FY 2022, predominantly to A and above-rated corporates. The share of A and above-rated large corporates has improved from 63% as of March 31, 2021 to 89% as of March 31, 2022. We have zero delinquency and zero SMA-2 book in our new corporate book that is disbursement starting October 1, 2020. Gold portfolio is a segment which has been consistently growing throughout the pandemic. Our disbursement increased by 96% year-on-year, rupees 7,998 crores during financial year ended March 2022, with an average ticket size of about 1,48,000. Gold loan book grew by 20% year-on-year to reach rupees 10,766 crores. Personal loan is another segment where we are seeing good traction since the launch of pre-approved personal loan in September 2021. As on date, our PL book crossed rupees 1,000 crore mark. We are seeing steady monthly disbursement run rate of rupees 100 crores. Credit card is another new product which we launched during FY 2022. In April 2022, we had more than 72,000 credit cards with monthly average spends of rupees 20,279. As far as SME is concerned, we are seeing good uptick in disbursements month-on-month over past few quarters. We are cautiously growing this segment with monthly disbursement averaging at rupees 300 crores in comparison to average of 175 crores in the first two quarters. We expect healthy economic growth and government spending towards infrastructure sectors will help credit uptick in coming years. Our aim is to grow loan book by double digits in FY 2023. Coming to liabilities, our retail deposits grew by 10% year-on-year, rupees 85,320 crores. CASA deposits increased by 20% year-on-year, rupees 29,601 crores, predominantly due to continued improvement in our SA business, which grew by 22% year-on-year to 24,740 crores. CASA ratio continued to improve and increased by 125 basis points Q-on-Q, reached 33.2% of the total deposits as of March 31, 2022. Bulk deposits declined by 21% year-on-year, rupees 3,821 crores, in line with our strategy. NRI deposits, which has been growing steadily, rose by 6% year-on-year, rupees 27,441 crores, and contributes to about 31% of total deposits. The low-cost NRI deposits grew by 13% year-on-year to rupees 8,844 crores. The bank saw a robust growth of 36% year-on-year in our NRI remittance business during the quarter. Our investment book was 22,534 crores, split into HTM of 19,365 crores and AIFs and HFT of rupees 3,174 crores. The bank witnessed slippages of 345 crores during Q4 22 and rupees 2,142 crores in FY 22, which was within the overall guidance of 2,500 crores given for FY 22. This is the first quarter since COVID outbreak where recovery and upgrade of rupees 4,412 crores were higher than slippages. The overall restructured book stands at rupees 2,417 crores, of which business segment is 3,338 crores, personal segment is 305 crores, and corporate is 774 crores. The bank holds standard and restructured provisions of 617 crores. The bank's collection efficiency during the quarter was 102%, with individual monthly collection efficiencies of 105%, 104%, 102% for January, February, and March 22 respectively. Gross NPA ratio improved by 107 bps from 6.97% as of March 31, 2021 to 5.9% as of March 31, 2022. During the quarter, the bank recovered or upgraded rupees 412 crores worth of NPAs and sold rupees 151 crores of GNPA to ARC. The net NPA improved by 174 bps from 4.71 as of March 31, 2021 to 2.97% as of March 31, 2022. Our endeavor is to bring GNPA below 5% and net NPA closer to 2% in FY23. Expect the credit cost to be in the range of 1.75 to 2%. The bank reported net profit of 272 crores in Q4 22, mainly due to improvement in net interest income and reduction in provisions on account of lower slippages and better recoveries. Further, the bank reversed the tax provision to the tune of 68 crores on receipt of favorable judgment / assessment orders for the previous financial years. Net interest income for the quarter increased by 7% year-on-year to 598 crores. Net interest margin improved by 16 bps Q-on-Q to 2.8% in Q4 22. The sequential growth in CASA has led to improvement in cost of deposits of 13 bps Q-on-Q to reach 4.54%. We endeavor to reach NIM of 3% in FY23. Non-interest income was rupees 204 crores. Our core fee income increased by 14% year-on-year to rupees 142 crores. Overall provisions decreased by 83% to 78 crores in Q4 FY22. The reduction in provisions was mainly due to lower slippages, better recoveries, and reversal of standard provisions of 60 crores on account of recovery from fully written off accounts. Our PCR improved by 10.82% during the financial year, from 58.73 as at March 31, 2021 to 69.55% as at March 31, 2022. Our aim is to further improve PCR to 75% in FY23. PCR excluding write-off improved by 17.27% during the financial year, from 34% as at March 31, 2021 to 51.27% as at March 31, 2022. Our overall capital adequacy ratio continues to be robust, with 15.86% as of March 31, 2022. The Tier 1 ratio stands at 13.22% as at March 31, 2022. We are hopeful that the momentum in disbursements and collections will continue in the coming quarters to achieve the desired targets. With this, we open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Barjatia from Honesty and Integrity. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So you have given this nice breakup between old and new book. So out of the new book of 22,752 crores, can you provide the breakup as to what is the gold loan and what are other corporates and SMEs and personal loan kind of
breakup
of the new book?
Got it. Yeah, out of 22,752 crores, we have retail is about 5,039 crores, corporate is about 7,204 crores, business segment is about 2,023 crores, agri is about 8,486 crores.
Got it. Understand. And so this new book, this average tenure, so obviously you started in October 2020. I mean to say that, you know, lot of this would be loans which have, which is very early in the tenure as of now, and that's why the credit cost will be low as of now. How much of this would be related to project expansions and on which the interest is still being capitalized in the books of the book?
I didn't understand the second part of the question. If the first part of the question you are saying is, since you have built this book fairly in the second half of this year, is it too early to talk about quality? Yes, I agree that it's too early to talk about quality. But having said that, since we are using advanced techniques in terms of credit underwriting, we are fairly sure what we are onboarding. Therefore, I am fairly confident that this book will hold. And as you know, especially in retail, etc., the nature of the deal will start showing up much earlier. If you have not onboarded a good customer, you will start showing delinquency much earlier. And if you look at, while addressing, I talked about the quality of corporate credit which you are adding. All these are rated A and above, and substantial portion of my new book is on highly rated corporates. Similarly, business segment also, we are using tools available, and we are also now completing our pilot using a credit model which has been built with McKinsey's help and with which we are underwriting now. So we are fairly confident of the quality of the book which you are adding. So even if you look at the GNPA from this book, obviously it's very low. But even if you look at SMA 2 or SMA 1, even they are very, very low as of now, despite the fact that the average age of this book is still, I must say that it is still too early. But I am fairly hopeful that it will sustain.
Got it. And lastly, on this new book again, how much of this 22,000 crore is basically to customers which were not previously the customers of South Indian Bank pre October 1st, 2020?
In terms of number of customers, probably I wouldn't be able to tell immediately, but I can tell you that personal loan and credit card, these are personal loan predominantly we have used a pre-approved model. Where we have actually mined our own database using data analytics. You know that we formulated our data science division during this year. This was one of the important strategy which I wanted to adopt, that using analytics for sourcing and underwriting. So PL, which we have almost added 1,000 crores during the year, I must say that most of them would be for existing customers. But we have started now sourcing new to bank customers, obviously using imputed score model, etc., where customers may not be banking with us, but they might be banking with somebody else, but then they have a good CIBIL score, etc. Using bureau's help and doing some analytics, we are onboarding a lot of new-to-bank customers also. In credit card, I must say that out of the 72,000 cards which you have sourced, initially we started with giving cards to our existing customers, but off late when we have actually started ramping up the number of cards in terms of, averaging close to 15,000 to 20,000 cards, almost 60% of them will be new-to-bank customers who have got an excellent credit score. And that actually is a fertile ground for me to go and cross-sell many of my retail products. So this is one of the biggest source for me for new-to-bank customers. So with the plan I have for building credit card in this year, close to, let's say, 1,30,000 cards plus, I am expecting that a lot of new-to-bank customers will get added during the year.
Yeah, but that actually is only a small portion of the book. I think out of 23,000, you said here about 8,500 is agri. And I think 5,000 is what is that corporate.
Agri includes agri gold also, just for clarifying that.
In that two large segments, how much would be to the new customers and how much
actually,
would be
hardly anybody will be new, because you know the segment is... This segment is, as you know, this segment comes back for loan again and again. Once their initial loan gets matured, they can come and again take, especially since we are experiencing COVID, etc., where clearly the disposable income of the customers, especially in the semi-urban and rural, have come down. So it's natural for them to come back and avail loan again by pledging the goals again, gold again. So therefore, there may not be many new-to-bank customers, but we are actually not really differentiating. When it comes to products like gold, as you know, credit risk is zilch. It's only operation and fraud risk which we need to be concerned about. So long as you have those in traction, it doesn't really matter whether somebody is new or existing.
Oh, understand. That's it for now.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kumar from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My question is on operating expense side. Actually, just to understand where after 1 year or 2 year the overall cost to income ratio will be is going to be sustained. I mean, the staff expenses is in decreasing, obviously, churning of the old employee and I think so voluntary retirement, and other operating expenses increases because of business and others. So what will be the run rate, sir, to of staff expenses for FY23 and 4 quarterly or yearly basis, if you can give some guidance?
See, one thing which I want to tell you is this cost income ratio, which is one of the C's which we are focusing on as part of our 6C strategy, clearly is to bring down the cost income ratio to the levels of 50% and below, because that's a healthy ratio. In fact, 45 below will be the most healthy ratio. But having said that, the structure in which the bank has been organized, as you know, we follow IBA methodology, and IBA has a certain frequency of negotiation which happens on behalf of all those banks where IBA system is followed for employee salaries, etc. So those settlements also happen at regular intervals, and obviously we need to impute those costs into our cost. Therefore, the only way to bring down the cost to income is to increase the income. And the increase in income, as you know, will happen when the economy actually starts really showing up opportunity for more and more quality assets, and when the interest rates in the market start going up. Now with the inflation going up, etc., the traction in terms of interest rates hardening in the market is certainly seen now. Now we are hoping that both in assets as well as in our treasury, we have a good opportunity to reprice our assets at a much higher interest rate than what we were contracting earlier. And whenever any case, whether it's SME or corporate, comes for renewal, etc., we'll obviously price it by linking it to the reference rate, which will only start going up. So to answer you, cost, I am looking at impact, making an impact in cost income, not necessarily by tweaking on the cost, because as you know, cost is something which it's a given. We need to manage that and we need to continue to work with that. But the only way to bring down the ratio is to increase the income, and that is what we are attempting to do. And the whatever measures which I talked about in terms of focusing on good quality assets and high-yielding assets, and repricing the entire book depending on the interest rates hardening in the market, etc., we hope that the traction on overall income will start going up, which is the surest way to bring down the cost income.
Yeah. On the other one, I think so. I missed, you have already mentioned, but just to repeat, what will be the credit cost? What is the guidance for FY23?
We are looking at 1.752%.
Okay. Thank you so much for that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Aditya Doshi from Chanakya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a follow-up on the previous one also. So our credit cost guidance of 1.752, so can we say that South Indian Bank has reached a steady state in terms of our past NPAs? And second, where does competitive edge of South Indian Bank be going forward?
I won't see steady state. You start saying only when you see consistent performance. That is what steady is all about. So we have just come out of much higher credit cost. So this is the first quarter where actually our recovery has been better than the slippages. So we need to replicate this in the year, in the quarters to come. And the way I look at it is, when we compare this with many of the large banks, there is a certain amount of slippages which happen for every bank in terms of their portfolio composition, which typically I have seen it is in the range of 1.5 to 1.575% of their portfolio. Normally, when they say these percentages, they include even the restructured the book. Whereas for us, as you know, since we had two consecutive years of flood and we had COVID restructuring and MSME restructuring, and the book composition is predominantly in the business segment, etc., clearly the restructured book, which was, let's say, 1,200 crores about a year back, today is at about 2,400 crores. From there, I am expecting a slippage of close to 1/4 of that. So what I am hoping is approximately 1,100 crores to come from regular slippages in my overall portfolio, plus another 600 crores to come from my restructured portfolio. So I am looking at an overall slippage of, let's say, 1,600 to 1,700 crores for the full year, which obviously is a much, much, much better number compared to 2,200 crores which I had experienced this year and 2,350 crores which I experienced last year. This year it was lower than what I gave as a guidance in the beginning of the year. So we need to really work on this, and with this and with the double digit growth which I'm anticipating in my overall loan book, where I'm currently at about, let's say, 61,000 crores, which I want to, let's say, reach to 67,000-68,000 crores. If you take that into account, I think our slippages ratio will be about 1.72%. And our credit cost naturally will be much, much lower than that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And my second question, where does South Indian want to be in competitive edge?
See, competitive in terms of, you are saying competitive edge. I didn't understand your question.
What does South Indian Bank have to have a competitive edge over other banks? Any moat we want to be, or we want to be edge on a few segment of business?
See, aspirationally, obviously, we all would want to be big bank at some time in the day. Therefore, that is the aspiration. Obviously, there is a path which we need to take to reach that level. So the way I envisage the vision for the bank is, in terms of milestones, first we need to get the matrices right. All the bank performance matrices in terms of CASA, GNPA, net NPA, PCR, capital adequacy, slippages, credit cost, provisioning cost, employee cost, cost to income, CASA, everything we'll have to get to the level where it is respectable. So the journey has already started, and if you look at almost in all these parameters which I mentioned just now, we have shown a good improvement from where we started. And this journey will have to continue, and we need to keep building the asset book. And in the whole process, what happens is the entire team will also get used to the right way of doing business, right way of sourcing, right way of underwriting, right way of monitoring, right way of collection, and also doing excellent customer service, which has always been our strength. So with that, we expect the book growth to happen. And this book growth, if you lay quality as the emphasis, clearly the profitability of the bank can really go at an exponential pace. If you look at, let's say, some bank having a NIM of, let's say, 1,000, operating profit of, let's say, 1,600, 1,700 crores, and if it has a negligible provisioning, you can pretty well imagine that the entire, at least two-thirds of that can actually get reflected as a PAT if you do manage our book very well. So the endeavor is to build the book, which is of high quality, continue to work on improving on your income, without sacrificing on the matrices which a bank will be measured on. So clearly the end state would be to realize that the market recognizes this turnaround, market recognizes that we have put all the building blocks in place and the bank really is a poised for a big growth. That's when it will have a positive cycle, and that will only help us to grow more and more. And eventually, the first milestone will be obviously to reach, some of the big milestones which I mentioned earlier, like reaching 1 lakh crore of asset book, really reaching a ROE of 15% plus, ROA of 1% plus. These are some of the milestones which we are working towards.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Suraj Das from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I have two questions. The first on the NIM side. So, I mean, your NIMs have improved QOQ. However, that seems to be driven mainly by the easing cost of deposits. Because if I see your yield, I mean, that has declined QOQ. And if I see the new, yield on the new book that you are building, that yield is also looking on the lower side. And you are estimating, you are guiding that the NIMs, will improve gradually from here from 2.8 to 3%. So sir, how do you envisage that? Because I believe in the rising rate scenario, your cost of deposits may have bottomed and it should go up. So, I mean, any comment here?
Yeah. No, let me, I think some factual corrections which I wanted to do. See, this 22,000 crore book which you have added, my NIM is 3.7 in my new book. So, clearly, and if you look at my Q4 ROE, ROA, all of them have shown the range where we want to be. ROE is in excess of 15%, ROA is in excess of 1%. So clearly, and you know that we have added substantially a portion of our asset book in the second half of this concluded year. See, and also you must remember that while your observation is right in terms of the yield coming down, but you should actually compare it with the rate in which the market yields have dropped. This is something which I have shared with you, all of you earlier also, that today till recently SMEs were getting rates of 7%, 7.25%, 7.3%, and corporates were getting sub 5.5% rates, etc. And even the retail loans like home loan, etc., as you know, it's been hovering between 6.75% to 7.5%. Auto loans, good quality auto loans are at about 7.5%, 7.75%. So these are the rates which are prevailing for a good credit in the market. If you look at my quality of book and if you look at my yield in the quality of the book which I am maintaining, I must say that the team is really negotiating hard and getting good yield, because I am maintaining an yield of 8.8% today with my quality which is close to fairly clean. So this improvement will happen on two counts. One is with the market rates hardening, definitely our ability to price our loans will be better, number one. Number two, with our constant efforts towards bringing down the cost of funds, which is clearly happening due to CASA going up, and all my four engines of CASA are firing today, whether it's government banking or task or retail or NR, all of them are firing for me, and it can only become better because, as you know, we got our agency license during the year and we have already started engaging with many governments for improving CASA by doing business with the government. Similarly, task and that has also started showing good traction. Retail has always been our forte, and we are also seeing good traction happening in the current account. Saving salary account always have been showing good growth. And NR clearly is also firing. Today, my CASA from NR alone is close to 800 crores for the full year. So, with my CASA continues to firing, which you know that comes at a much lower cost, and with our constant traction in bringing down the cost of funds by working on cost bulk deposit, which is continuously showing decline, my overall NIM, that is the difference between the lending rate and my cost of deposits, even in the situation market rates were going down like nobody's business, we have been able to maintain. And this not at the cost of sacrificing quality, this has come at the cost of impeccable quality. So I am fairly sure that the effort in this is not so much about what is available in the market, it's also to do with our ability of our team to go and negotiate hard as far as the rates are concerned, and our ability of team to go and continue to improve work on CASA, improve work on our task, government, as well as NR. In all these areas, by continuous working, I'm sure we'll be able to increase the spread. And I agree with you that the deposit rates will have to be fine-tuned depending on the hardening which is happening in the market. Definitely we will do that, because at the end of the day, one of our biggest strengths is our liability franchise. So we certainly don't want to disappoint our liability franchise. We'll continue to price it as it should be priced, and we will continue to enjoy the patronage. That's something which we will definitely do. Now the third last one is on the yield on my investment. See, one of the reasons why my NIM is also going down is due to my fairly large investment book, and as you know, treasury yields, etc. I mean, the opportunity in fixed income clearly has dwindled, and we have did a smart thing of reducing our duration. Within the first quarter, we completed that exercise. Now, with the rising interest rates, etc., we are well poised to reprice it, and we are actually much better placed than many of the large banks also in terms of improving yield in, as the market rates start going up. So, with all this, I am fairly sure that we'll work on improving NIM, and I'm anyway not giving too much of guidance on improvement. I'm talking about improving it marginally, which I'm sure we'll be able to.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed answer. Sir, can you give a breakup of, you know, of the total loan book? How much is EBLR linked? How much is fixed? How much is MCLR linked? Any guidance here would be very helpful.
I don't have the data, but maybe we can get offline with you and probably share. But just to tell you that predominantly off late, we are seeing that most of the corporates as well as especially corporates, they obviously the rates are linked to T-bill or the rates are linked to repo. These are the rates because I'm talking about well-rated corporates of A and above. So their expectation is to link it to these rates. So so my 10,000 crores of disbursement which I have done in the corporate book, which is a combination of short-term and bills as well as long-term, they are all linked to reference rates, which are one of these two, treasury or repo rates. So with the repo rates, which are already at 4.4, and the expectation is that repo rates are going to be hiked depending on how central bank looks at the inflation trajectory, I'm sure there will be an opportunity for us to keep repricing them. And obviously, we need to ensure that, you know, we meet with the expectations of the corporates.
Okay, understood, sir. And the last question from my side is, sir, if you can give the outstanding number of ECLGS, what is the outstanding disbursement or outstanding portfolio under ECLGS, and how has the book been behaving? I mean, in terms of, you know, slippages or NPA, any NPA from this book?
Just give me a minute. Let me just take out that. Yeah. See, if you look at ECLGS, okay. See, ECLGS total, if you look at, I'm including all of them, ECLGS 3, 4, 1 extension, 2 extension, 3 extension, 4 extension, etc. If you look at the overall, this thing is 9,950 crores, of which number of accounts is, just give me a minute, let me just take first, number of accounts is 9,950, the limit is 3,163 crores. As of March 22, we have 2,665 crores, of which NPA is about 131 crores.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and 1. The next question is from the line of Selva Muthukumar from Business Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, I congratulate the management team of South Indian Bank for wonderful, excellent results during this kind of COVID pandemic period. So just I would like you to know about, do you have any further plan to reduction of branches in upcoming years? The second question regarding dividend. So past 3 to 4 years, we are not able to get any dividend for long-term investors. So please try to provide a dividend in next year. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yes, we will. We understand. We appreciate that we have not been able to do that. We will work towards that. As you know, these are outcome of how well we are actually repositioning the bank in terms of profitability, etc. Clearly, we are conscious of it, and we know that we need to do a lot more hard work to ensure that we declare dividends. But certainly, we will work towards that. Thank you so much. Thanks for your appreciation.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead. We've lost the line for Mr. Rohan Mandora. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Akhil Hazari from RoboCap. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes.
Hi. So I just wanted to know the tax credit that you've got this quarter. You know, going forward again, would there be any, is this a one-time thing for this quarter? Or, and going forward, would there be any other tax credits that you're getting?
Yeah, it's a continuous effort. I think what we have got clearly has been due to the sustained efforts put in by the management. And we have got lots of orders favorable to us of the cases which we had filed over the last few years. And this is a continuous exercise. We'll continue to do that in the coming year. Obviously, you know that these are not something which we can predict as to how much will come or how much will not come. But efforts will be on to continue to work on. Wherever there is a possibility of redeeming, we will definitely redeem them.
Okay, thank you. That's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, it got disconnected last time. So, what are this one that we have? So, what the impact on it post the RBI master direction? Will there be?
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Your voice is breaking up
between.
Your voice is not clear, Rohan.
Yeah. Is it better?
Slightly better. Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. So, then I was saying on the one card partnership that we have. Just want to understand post the RBI master direction on the co-branding arrangement and on the data sharing part, how does that affect this partnership and what is the data sharing that we were having earlier with OneCard?
As I'm talking to you, we are also looking at very closely the RBI directions and how the bank as well as the partner will have to realign the way we are having the partnership today to ensure that we continue to have a working relationship with them. That's the broad thing which I want to share. Second thing is that obviously the arrangement has taken off very, very well. And clearly we expect that the partnership is something which will continue in this year, and we have a plan to really take it up to a significant level this year. But this will be obviously after we completely scrutinize the impact of the new regulations. There could be a little bit of tweaking which we might have to do in terms of the agreements, etc., which we enter into with them. And we also need to ensure that, you know, whatever we are setting out to do is in complete alignment with the guidance which has come from the regulators. So we are closely looking at what needs to be done to ensure that we completely satisfy the regulatory requirements.
Right. So if you can just elaborate a bit here in terms of what is the data sharing that would be happening with OneCard, or what all these things would need to change post the circular, if you have some clarity on that front right now.
Now, currently, let me just tell you what the current arrangement what we have is. See, we have a tie-up with OneCard in terms of their own sourcing, where they have a methodology for sourcing new customers who are probably who could be new to bank, new to our bank. So those customers are obviously, looked at for credit quality, etc. And once they meet in with the norms which the bank has specified in terms of what we need for issuance of credit card, which is a co-branded card, such individuals are given cards, etc. So that is one thing which is working. Second thing which was working is wherever we have an existing customer base, we are using data science to ensure that we do a data mining of our customers, and whoever we think are eligible for having cards, we share the details with OneCard, and OneCard then issues card to our existing customers. So clearly the customers belong to us, and the risk norms are obviously our own risk norms. The third product which we are working with them is a secured card, where the credit card limit is backed with the FD. There are many customers who hold FD with us, and we would probably give a secured card where the limits will be backed by the FDs which we carry. So now in the one of the important things I think which as per our understanding, as per the new regulation is, obviously the partner should not have access to the transaction data, etc. And obviously we need to, particularly in a credit card kind of business, you need to understand that there are 3-4 big areas where we have the partnership. One in terms of technology alignment, second in terms of sourcing and processing, third one in terms of collection, and fourth one in terms of customer service. So we need to see that how we ensure that all these are done by fully complying with the regulations which has now been introduced. So a team from our side and team from their side is carefully going through all this, and whatever needs to be done to ensure that this is fully met, we will endeavor to do that, and we hope to put everything in place so that we are fully compliant with the regulations.
Sure, sir. So this was helpful. The second is on terms of PSL, how are we faced at the end of the year?
In terms of what, sorry?
Priority sector lending achievement.
We are always well ahead of whatever is the requirement of regulators, so we have no challenge there. In fact, we have always we are surplus, so we keep selling also PSLs, etc. So we are very well placed.
Right, so sir, just if you can talk about how is the PSLC rates trending right now, and are there any expectations of that increasing given that the larger bank is going to...
Let me put this way, it's more opportunity-based sale which we do. We really don't do that as a business. We look at it, if there is an opportunity and if we are finding it to be surplus, where we are fully meeting with all the requirements of the bank, and if we see an opportunity, we go and look for rates at that point in time, and if it makes sense, we do that. It's not looked at as a main business activity or anything like that.
Sure, sir. And just lastly, on the new book that we have generated post, say, October 2020, what would be the effective ROAs, ROE, if you were to look at only that particular book?
We have calculated the NIM. NIM is about 3.7% for the new book. And the delinquency, as I explained earlier, it is negligible. It is, we are talking about SMA, give me a minute, I'll just take it.
Sure.
Yeah, in terms of new book, SMA 2 is hardly 79 crores out of 23,752 crores, and GNPA is only 3 crores, so it's clearly negligible delinquency, and average yield for this new book is about 8.03%, and this obviously might look lower compared to the old book, but you must remember that the interest rate scenario actually has been going down. So in the lower interest rate scenario, we are continuing to work on improving our cost of deposit and cost of funds, and we are also continuing to work on improving rates in a way that our spreads keep going up. So ROA, ROE, we haven't really done for the new book per se, but Q4, which is what I shared I think earlier, my ROA and ROE are pretty good. 15% plus for ROA and ROA is 1% plus. But obviously it's a one-off. You can't really expect that to be replicated because we have done a fantastic job in terms of recovery and upgrade in the Q4. In fact, the recovery and upgrade done in Q4 is equal to what we did for the full year of year before last. So we have almost improved our performance by 250% in terms of upgrade and recovery. So obviously we would endeavor to replicate that going forward, but that obviously has to got, we need to factor that when we are calculating the profitability which might arise. So right now the ROA and ROE for the full bank, which is clearly very, very low, and we need to work towards improving them, which will start happening as we churn the existing portfolio with more and more of new portfolio.
Sure. And so lastly on this, again on the new book part, is the fee income profile as a percentage of, say, the average loan book similar to the old book, or would it be better? And if it is better, where have we brought in that?
Substantially improved. I mean, the habit of charging fees, etc., we have actually now inculcated it to the team. And in fact, in all our income streams, if you look at whether it's a transaction income or a technology income or a fee income or all the areas, third party, everywhere we have shown substantial improvement. I think as a culture, we are now looking at improving our wallet share.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The The next question is from the line of Jai Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, if I look at our slide number 18, and we have given the makeup of loan book in terms of ticket size, we are reducing less than 5 crores, 5 to 25, 25 to 100. The only segment where we have grown is above 100 crore. And this is a decent, healthy growth there, which is also improving the overall growth. I wanted to check, sir, is this going to be the strategy that, you know, maybe from at least from near-term perspective, you would be going more aggressive on, you know, these 100 crores plus size? Maybe the rating is very good. Or is there something, you know, which is why we... Yeah, so I was saying, sir, if I look between the above 100 crores and below 100 crores, there is a clear difference in the way the bank is growing. So just wanted to check. I thought maybe, you know, the focus would have been more on granular below 100 crores kind of a loans, but somehow it is not coming out that way. So what do you think? What is going to be the strategy?
This is the operator. We have the line for management reconnected.
Yes, sir. Sir, so on slide 18, that gives the ticket-wise breakup of the loan book.
Correct, yeah.
This quarter, at least we have shown healthy growth in above 100 crore. Hmm. I wanted to check, are you facing some, let's say, more competition, or you are more leaned towards, away from below, 5 to 25 and 25 to 100 crores ticket size, and hence we are degrowing there? Or what is... Maybe the risk reward is not finding that attractive. So what is the reason that, you know, we are having degrowth in three smaller ticket size versus above 100 crore?
No, if you look at less than 5 crores, it's only grown, no? 32,408 crores to 33,833 crores, which we have grown
in 5 crore,
which is clearly, with the retail growing, obviously that is growing. If you look at predominantly 5 to 25 and 25 to 100, in terms of number of cases and this thing, there what we are actually doing is we are churning wherever the cases which are slipping, etc. Obviously, we are addressing them through recovery and collection. And any new addition to this in this segment, we are obviously looking at the quality as a criteria. And as you know, 5 to 25 typically would be SMEs. Whose average ticket size would be, let's say, 8 to 12 crores kind of segment. This segment, especially across banking also, this segment is something which we need to be very careful about, because they may not have the as much resourcefulness as a corporate would have, and they are much like retail in terms of their discipline and in terms of their maintenance of books, etc., etc. So you need to be very good in doing quality underwriting. This is one of the reasons why SME, if you look at industry as a whole, also always suffer from higher delinquency if you don't have your credit act right. So if you look at more than 100 crores, why we have grown, clearly we are focusing on large, well-rated corporates where requirements are of a larger size and where we are very sure about the credit quality. Obviously, the flip side to that is the rates, etc., would be relatively much lower compared to what probably you would get for a MSME or a mid-corporate. To that extent, yes, you will have a little lesser income, but then if you actually look at the risk-adjusted income, they still will make a lot of sense.
Right. And do you see higher competition in 5 to 25 and 25 to 100? Because other banks, or the large banks, seem to be getting more aggressive for the last few quarters.
I mean, obviously each bank is in its own stage of evolution as to how they want to do this act. But as far as I can only talk about my bank, where I can tell you that this segment of 5 to 25 crores especially, we need to be very sure about the quality of our underwriting, and we need to be really equipping our team to identify good cases. So because today, typically 5 to 25, if you look at average ticket is 8 crores. I'm just giving a backup annual calculation. If somebody is looking at 8 crores, his working capital is turnover, let's say we are in a multiple banking or consortium banking. Let's say 3-4 banks are together. Let's say 30-40 crores will be the working capital requirement, which means you are talking about a company which has a turnover of, let's say, 120 to 150 crores. this segment, if you look at it in the last couple of years, this is the segment which has had the worst hit. 80% of SMEs facing losses were mostly in the smaller and the mid segment of SME. So one needs to be very sure about the quality. So the way we have gone about addressing this segment is, clearly the appraisal methodology will be mimicking to some extent the corporate underwriting methodology, but at the same time there will be emphasis on collateral, because these are the segments where, because of their less resourcefulness, you might, if you experience any delinquency there, you need to recover or reduce your LGD by having a good collateral backing you up. So therefore we are carefully choosing this segment, and as we feel that our model is right and our credit underwriting quality is definitely becoming better and better, and if the opportunities for this segment keeps moving up, today the opportunity also is pretty low in this segment. While you are saying that other banks are growing, they are mostly, if you look at it, they are actually poaching by offering very low rates. It's not that any new entity is coming up today. They go and look at, you know, well-performing customers of, let's say, other banks and go and offer 6%, 6.5%, 7%, which obviously smaller banks may not, cannot afford such rates. So these customers are getting poached. That is what is happening. And to a large extent, this also to some extent puts pressure on the NIM of all the mid-sized banks, because in order to retain a loyal customer, they need to offer go down on rates, which is clearly the bank's own created situation. It's not that risk is going down in any way, or the pricing to risk is happening in a proper way. So I am of the view that pricing to risk is clearly missed out in this segment. And today, people are growing in this segment just to show advances growth. It's not really, and in the overall scheme of their things, probably it would still be very low, because they got a much larger book size. So therefore, even if you go aggressively in this, it may not be very contributing much to their book size. But for a bank like ours, especially when we are trying to correct a situation of slippages coming under control and credit cost coming under control, we need to be choosy about who we want to lend in this segment.
Right. Okay, understood, sir. And secondly, on this security receipts book that we have, right? So clearly out of around 1600 book value, we have around 700. We have provided 900 and 700 is still NAV. Usually this still looks like the provisioning is on a lower side. Do you intend to provide much more here, or how do you look at the residual provisioning here?
No, I probably may not agree fully that we are providing less or anything, because if you look at the way the sale to ARCs which have happened in the past, clearly the performance of ARCs, if you look at over the last several years, if you look at it, many of the sellers were not too happy with the way redemption was happening in SRs. But one thing which you should also remember, that for every quarter there is a rating agency which looks at the possibility of recovery from the various underlying cases, and they say what is the likely recovery, etc. Now, given the fact that market has actually deteriorated in terms of recovery over the last 2 years thanks to COVID, etc., clearly rating agencies have also rightly reduced their prediction of recoverability from these cases. And therefore, as a bank, we need to obviously take into account the provisioning, which we need to take as additional provisioning. So, but now, if you look at the last, I would say, 12-month scenario, compared to the first year of COVID, when most of the courts were not functioning, most of the resolution mechanisms were not functioning, etc., obviously the recovery from by ARCs were pretty low. But if you look at last 6 to 8 months across all banks, if you look at the recovery has been improving, and so are we finding that even from ARCs. Today ARCs are getting cases resolved either by going in for a OTS or by to a resolution, etc. There is some traction happening, and we are also seeing that quarter after quarter things have started moving. Now we are more and more lit. I mean, I won't say we are in a happy state. We still have a long way to go. But whatever we used to experience earlier, compared to that, I think what we are getting now is slightly better. So I only believe that collection and recovery scenario will become better, and that will make ARCs also improve their performance. And we continuously engage with all the ARCs to whom we have sold our portfolio, and we are engaging with them. We have also done an additional initiative of ascending somebody who has got rich experience in handling recovery and collection, who has been with the bank for many years, to work very closely with ARCs so that we can, our engagement with the customers whose accounts have been sold to ARCs are handled reasonably well, and we are getting maximum value out of whatever we sold. So that's how we are planning to address this. So in my view, we will take it as it comes. I mean, as of now, what you said is right, that 58% coverage, provision coverage is what we have. But depending on how the whole thing pans out, we will provide whatever is required to be provided.
Understood. And lastly, sir, on capital, is there any capital raising plan or, I mean, concrete capital raising?
No, actually, if you look at the capital adequacy, we are pretty well poised now. But having said that, for the opportunity in the market, clearly we need to beef up our balance sheet strength, for which definitely we'll be looking for opportunity to raise capital. If you ask me whether we are in a dire need to raise capital, the answer is no. But will we be raising capital when there is an opportunity? The answer is yes.
Last question, sir, on this one card, right? So what is it for the bank? You know, I thought the segment one office, this is not a banking. Yeah, is this any better?
You can.
Sorry, I didn't understand your question. You're asking whether
question card, I have the one card, one credit card. So why not go yourself? And why do you need one card partnership? See, my initial impression with Robin was that this, I mean, one card operates in a segment which are, you know, which a bank of your size would have very tiny percentage. I mean, you anyway, as you said, you have data mining and everything. So maybe there would be very hardly overlap between their target segment and your existing customer set. What are your thoughts?
So two things. One is, if you want to start a credit card business on your own, as you know, credit card is a long gestation business and it requires a lot of considerable investments in the technology as well as in the human resources side. So if you ask me whether it is a product which we want to start on our own and want to take it to the level where we might initially have to take some capital expenses as well as some losses before we turn around the business. This is a long gestation business. So currently in our scheme of things, we don't want to venture on our own. Having said that, is it a business which is worthy of pursuing? Yes, it's worthy of pursuing, because this is one business which can give you much better ROA. And what we are now trying to do, we are trying to basically partner with somebody who has got expertise in this, who has done this credit card business for years, and all of them are have worked with me, so I know all of them. And they have good expertise in this area, and we are specifying the norms which will match with our risk appetite. So we are clearly specifying this is the risk which we would want to take in this business, because credit card business, as you know, is a high return, high risk business. So how do you control risk? By only having your own risk appetite clearly understood and having your norms which will fit in with your risk appetite. So with that, if you underwrite, obviously you will have everything to gain. So today, I would slightly disagree that the segment which they are targeting and the segment which we want to target, they are not different. When we are trying to say that we would want to grow in retail or with a better quality, we would want to obviously target customers whose CIBIL scores are better, who are in the age group of, let's say, 25 to 35, who have got lot more professional career ahead and who are working in good sectors, etc. That's the segment which anyway we want to look at for growing our retail. If somebody is looking for a credit card today, he might look for a home loan tomorrow, he might look for a car loan day after tomorrow. So clearly what you are acquiring as a customer today, you have a customer life cycle dependent loans which we can do from the bank. So the whole methodology is to acquire a customer and then work with the customer to keep increasing your penetration with the customer in terms of offering all of the products apart from the third party products which you want to sell. So clearly it very much synchronizes with the strategy which I have in mind in terms of increasing our customer base, increasing our product suite, and improving the overall wallet from the customer, which will improve our overall ROE and ROE. So it makes immense sense to go with a partnership at this juncture instead of starting on our own, which today may not make sense for the bank of our size.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Rungta from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking up my question, sir. I just want to follow on the earlier question about if you can, you know, throw some color on how the market currently is in terms of competitive intensity among SME business loans and about the growth prospects it has. Thank you.
The SME business scenario, if you look at the market, it is clearly it is unlike large corporate, etc., where to a large extent it will be driven by the outlook of the industry. In SME, since it will be mostly regional-based or area-based entities, clearly the uniqueness of SMEs is what is going to make them survive. So whenever we look at SME cases for onboarding, we need to see what is their uniqueness, what is special about them which will make them survive. Because if it's a very easy business where the barrier to entry is very low, anybody can get in. If the margins are attractive, more and more people will get in, and that is a sure way to spoil the spreads, etc., and that is a sure sign that SME will go down the drain. Therefore, when you are looking at onboarding good SME customers across the country, we need to see which business are they in, depending on the geography in which they are operating. Let's say if it's a SME based out of, let's say, industrial center in Pune or in Chennai, are they contributing, are they acting as OEMs to a major auto manufacturer over there? Obviously, you look at how long have they been supplying that product and how integral are they in terms of the overall scheme of the principal, etc. That's what we should look at when we are trying to onboard them. If you look at markets like Kerala, for example, we will look at whether somebody is in rubber plantation or somebody is in a tourism business, etc., and what kind of penetration they have had in that line of business. So when it comes to assessing SME potential, I must say that it is more and more regional based and more and more area based. So what we are trying to do is, since we have a fairly good distribution network, we have got 925 branches spread across the country with 18 regions, and each region has its own uniqueness. So we clearly give the target, and we sort of give the guideline on which industries are having outlook which are positive, which industries are having a stable outlook, which industries are not having positive, which have a negative outlook. So we try and stay away from industries which are not doing well, which are where there is a negative outlook. But here again, there could be locations where, even though they might be in that industry, but their uniqueness in that locality probably will be helping them to do very well over there, and they might have a long history of operating from there. Such customers, obviously, we would definitely onboard. So when it comes to SME, it's more, I would say, very location-based strategy is what we should, we are following. So, the way I look at it is SME, the key to building an SME book is to be very sensitive about the quality. If you get your quality act right, you have a good money to make. Especially in the rising rate scenario, you can afford to charge a reasonably good rate for pricing the risk. And if you get your act right, you will be able to make good money. So right now we are at a phase where we were degrowing. We were continuing to degrow for some time. Now you started actually building back now. We are still reached the level which we were. But this year hopefully we will be able to surpass the book, and we will be able to show some decent growth over there. I am looking at overall double digit growth for the entire portfolio, of which definitely SME will be one of the key contributors to my business. The average disbursement run rate we are seeing is about 400 to 450 crores in a quarter. If you look at the 6 months average, it will be about 300 crores. So we are seeing continuous traction happening in terms of disbursement happening. And here again, the sub-segment which is growing is the lower segment, which is essentially up to 2 crore ticket size, where the average ticket size would be about 1 crore, where it will be more akin to retail, and even the way the business is run will be akin to retail, where you have a very standard set norms and you don't have too much of deviation. It will be backed with good collateral, and the business model is sustainable, and there is a uniqueness for the promoter to have a sustainable advantage.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the detailed answer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Khandelwal from Span Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Mehul Khandelwal. Sir, my first question is, last year we have grown at 3% on loan book. So what gives us confidence that we will grow double digits this FY23?
If you see my growth in the last 4 months, I said that asset growth, we started actually growing. We were degrowing our book for because we were setting up the entire structure of the bank to really do quality sourcing and quality underwriting, and we are also setting up control divisions, etc., to ensure that we are not hit with any conflict of interest and frauds, internal, external frauds, etc. So all that got stabilized, and economy was also not doing that well in the first quarter, and even up till mid of second quarter, things were not very that great. So we actually started growing our book, if you ask me, from month of September onwards. So if you look at the growth which we have actually posted in Q3 and Q4, and especially in Q4, if you look at it, we have shown a growth of close to 10%. We have almost grown to 2,500 crores of book from the book starting book of January. So I'm not saying that I will do an annualized growth of 30-40%. I am looking at a growth of, let's say, double digits, lower double digits. But I would like to repeat that between quality and growth, still go for quality, because that's the one which is going to sustain. If good quality assets are available, we will definitely grow more. I'm not going to limit myself by saying that I'll grow only 10% or 12% or 13% or 15%. If there are good quality assets available, and if the team really, which is geared up now to really source more and more, I'm sure we are taking an ambitious target of wanting to reach double digit. We will take it as it comes.
So, sir, would you like to quantify double digit in terms of number, like what is your targeting, mid-teens or high-teens? Anything?
Double digit starts with 10%, so you can take it as 10%.
Okay. And sir, this, you are targeting ROE of 15% and 1% ROA in how many years?
It's a very theoretical question if you ask me, because we would want to reach this level. It's not about in how many years we will reach. It's a question of how soon we would want to reach, which is dependent on so many things. I mean, it's a composite number, right? So you need to look at the composition of the book which you are trying to build. You need to look at the delinquency on the behavior of each of this sub portfolio, etc. So our endeavor is to reach this by in my original vision statement, I said we will reach it by 2024. But given the fact that COVID has really pushed everything by 1 year, I am hoping that we will reach it by 2025 March.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, this out of restructuring book of 2,400 crores, how do you see this panning out this year? Like, what are the chances of recovery or any kind of improvement over here?
1/4 of the book to slip into NPA. Rest all, I think, will behave. No issues.
Okay.
Thank you.
And any lumpy account are we seeing?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request the management to go ahead with the closing comments in the interest of time. You may email the questions, sir, please. Management, over to you.
Yeah. If you have any more questions, please do not hesitate to send an email or talk to any of our colleagues. We'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to thank all the participants for taking your time out to be part of this call. And as I keep saying in my every analyst call, our endeavor is to provide as much information and as transparent as transparently as possible. Whatever information we have, we would want to share it in full detail, so that you know exactly how we are steering the bank. And I sincerely expect all of you to continue to support us in this journey of transforming the bank and to reach the next level of growth. Thank you so much, and thanks for the organizers for organizing a wonderful teleconference. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.